This weekend, it is the West Final in the Canadian Football League. The Stampeders, a week of waiting to see who they would play. Found out on the weekend it'll be their old friends, the Edmonton Eskimos, coming down QE2, and it should be a dandy. As the top two teams in the West over the regular season will battle, the radio voice of the Eskimos is Morley Scott, joins us right now. Good morning, Morley.
Morning, Boomer. How are you?
Fantastic. We're getting ready for some football. It's going to be plus temperatures in the city today. I'm not sure what we expect for the weekend, but maybe, just maybe, it's not going to be this snow bowl. And everybody talks about playing that game at McMahon in November. Maybe there's a chance it won't be as arduous a task as maybe we thought.
Well, it's looking good right now. I know it's supposed to get some snow on Saturday, but last time I checked, it was supposed to be plus one, which is great. It takes the weather factor out of it, and most importantly, I think it just allows the players to play. I mean, it's the biggest game of the year until the Grey Cup game, and you want to have it in good conditions. You want to allow the players to do their thing, and most importantly, I think the fans, you know, let them be a little comfortable in the stands. I know it was pretty tough at Edmonton for a lot of people last weekend for the semifinal against Saskatchewan because temperatures dipped down to minus 10, minus 12. The wind kicked up a little bit near the end of the football game. It's pretty tough to sit in those hard plastic seats for 4 hours and soak in a football game.
Yeah. Take me through that game, because I know the one refrain that was coming out from many Eskimos fans, or many critics, right? Everybody's going to find something to complain about, even when you win, was that the Eskimos allowed the Riders to hang around. They win the football game, but what did you take away from that match?
Well, that's the observation that everybody has. I mean, if you go into a game and say, you know, you're going to get six turnovers, but you're only going to score 18 points, you're thinking, wow, we're not going to play very well. And offensively, the Eskimos didn't. Defensively, they're fantastic. I mean, they did all sorts of great things defensively, forcing two and outs. They had five interceptions. I think it was six or seven sacks, one turnover on downs. They gave the offense the football, but the offense couldn't produce when they had to. I think they only got 6 points off the turnovers that they had in the football game, which is dangerous. And luckily, I think for the Eskimos in the game, Saskatchewan didn't play very well either. And, you know, they had their quarterback out as well with Gary Durant on the shelf. And Kerry Joseph and Tino Sinceri played pretty well when he came in late in the game. Joseph was awful during the first half of the football game, throwing up the interceptions. So they didn't take advantage of the chances they get. And I think that's the one message that they're taking out of the game heading to Calgary this weekend is we can't do that against the Stampeders. In fact, if you go back to that game at Commonwealth in July, they did that against the Stampeders. They played pretty well in that game. In fact, we all thought the Eskimos outplayed the Stamps in that game in July, but they didn't take advantage of their opportunities, and it cost them, and the Stampeders did take advantage of theirs, and they won the football game. So that's the message I think the Eskimos are taking from the football game. They've got to be better offensively.
It's interesting that with the lead up to this football game, the opposing, at least fan bases, seem to be very much monitoring the health of the other team's star players. In Calgary, it's about Mike Riley. In Edmonton, it's about John Cornish. So what can you tell us about Mike Riley? Gotta believe he'll be good to start after coming in on the weekend against Saskatchewan.
Yeah, that's pretty much the case. They said pretty much post-game on Sunday that Mike Riley would start the football game this week in Calgary. He practiced yesterday and seemed okay. They had a light practice. They just did a walkthrough. There was not a lot of running around. But he said afterwards that he was fine and there'll be no problem with him going. And he said, we have things in our playbook that if I can't run them, I won't be in the football game. So I'm pretty confident I can run everything that's in our playbook. You know, you got to believe that he can't run with authority like he's run all season long, like he's run for the last two seasons. And I think that's where they're going to rely on John White a little bit more. But reality sets in for him. His foot's sore. It's not going to be 100%. But it's good enough to go, and it's good enough to start. And they're a better football team with a 75% Mike Riley in there than anybody else.
Yeah, no question. I know during the regular season, quickly, I mean, if you pay attention, you quickly found out just how dangerous he was with as far as being able to get out of the pocket and make things happen with his feet. Over 600 rushing yards. He was one of the best rushers in the league.
Absolutely, and he had more than that last year. And, you know, and don't forget, he missed virtually four games this year. He only played two snaps in one game against Toronto, then injured his thumb in that game and was out for two games after that, the Labor Day games, and then missed the last game of the season. So he put those yards up playing only 14 games this year. Last year, I think he was up around 700 yards last year in the games he played. And what he does is he finds ways to get first downs. And you know, that's how he got hurt on November 1st. He stretched out to try and get a first down, and he ended up having someone land on his foot behind him as he dove forward, and that's how he hurt his foot. So, yeah, he creates first downs, and I think that's the best thing about his game is the play never ends with him. You never know when it's going to be over, and he'll make something out of nothing sometimes.
He's one of those guys you can tell just by watching him on the field that he has the command of that offense, the respect of his team. He's a winner. He'll go through the wall if it needs to be done. You can't say that about everybody in the Canadian Football League, but you can see that he's certainly one of those guys.
He's a clear leader. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's the clear leader of this team offensively, and he gets things done. And I just noticed a different presence with the offense when he came into the game on Sunday. I mean, he only threw 8 passes, completed 6. He ran, you know, he rolled out of the pocket for a few steps and threw the ball. Didn't run a lot, but he had third and short situations where he took the ball, went under center and dove ahead, and I think that showed everybody that his foot was flying. And those are the kind of plays he makes all the time. They're just a different team, totally different team with him in the lineup. And that's no disrespect to Matt Nichols, who's a good quarterback. But they're a different team with Mike Riley, and they're a much, much better team than Mike Riley's at the helm.
Chatting with Morley Scott, radio voice of the Edmonton Eskimos, on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet hotline. Lube City, a change for the better, featuring Mobile One, the official motor oil of NASCAR. So beyond the watching and waiting to see what's up with Mike Riley, what's other injury news, or what's the health status of the Eskimos as we get ready for the weekend?
I think pretty good. Cornerback Alonzo Lawrence did not practice yesterday. Coach Chris Jones said there'll be more information on him today, so I'm not sure what his status is going to be, but I don't remember him getting hurt during the game. I don't think he left the game early last Sunday, and they do have Joe Burnett, an all-star, who's been injured most of the season, hasn't played since, actually the last game he played was that game in July at Commonwealth against the Stampeders. He got hurt in practice the next week and hasn't been able to get back into the lineup, but he's healthy now, and he's a guy who can play in the Canadian Football League, so they've got him to move in on the corner if they so choose to, and if Alonzo Lawrence can't go. But other than that, aside from the guys who are already hurt and out of the lineup and have been out of the lineup for a while, they're pretty healthy going into the game, so that's a good sign for them. That's been one thing, Boomer, that the Eskimos have done so well this year, and I know the Stamps have done it really well this year too, been able to get over the injuries they've had. The Eskimos have had a lot of players go down, and they've done a great job moving guys around and bringing guys from the practice roster or bringing the number twos in to play in the number one spot, and they really haven't missed a beat.
Yeah, I'm sure that the Stamps would like not to have had to have been as adept at it as they would have liked, but certainly no question. Obviously, the topic of John Cornish is a big one in both cities. Here, it's about getting him back and getting him ready for this game, and I would guess up there it's about trying to stop him. As I know, in 2 of the 3 games, both victories against the Eskimos, Cornish was a huge factor. Are you getting that sense that that's kind of the key to victory for Edmonton, at least defensively?
100%. That's the game plan. They've got to try and stop him somehow. And the funny thing about it is you got to try and stop him, but you can't forget about the rest of the offense that the Stampeders have, because it's a pretty good offense. It's an offense that can score points. They've got some great weapons in their receiving corps. So you really have to be careful, and you can't, overcompensate to stop Cornish. I mean, he's been fantastic. I added up some of the numbers that he's had in the 3 years he's been a regular. He's gone for over 1,000 yards against the Eskimos in the games he has played, and that's only 9 games. I mean, he's had 180 yards. He's had 185 yards. Last time they came anywhere close to stopping him was Labor Day last year, where he only had 60 yards, 67 yards in the game. But Stampeders still won it, so he's tough. I talked to a few guys yesterday about him, especially the guys in the interior of the D-line, and they say the toughest thing about him is just to take him down. You can't arm tackle him, and even if you feel you get a good hit on him, he'll still drag you for 3 or 4 yards before you can take him down, and those 3 and 4 yards, they add up after a while, and it's pretty tough to stop him, and that's going to be the focus. Luckily for the Eskimos, it was kind of the same focus against Saskatchewan, who in the final game of the regular season just ran roughshod over the Eskimos defense on the ground. So they really focused on that going into the playoff game, and they were able to shut down Anthony Allen. So they're kind of in that mode as they move on from Anthony Allen to a completely different guy, kind of running back, and a much better running back than John Cornish.
It's going to be a fun one. You've got the dynamic offense of, it sounds like you're taking it away from the other team, but you've got the offense of the Stampeders against Chris Jones and his retuned defense, one of the best in the league. And then on the other side, the Stamps are telling you, hey, we're one of the best too. And of course, Mike Riley's going to say, don't sleep on our offense. So it should be a great one. How do you see it shaking down if you were to throw a little, a little wager, maybe just a little one?
Just a little one. I would I'd call it a close game for sure. I don't think it's going to be a blowout of any kind. I think the defenses will probably take control of it, especially, you know, it depends what the weather is, and you got to wonder. I don't know how much snow they're expecting in Calgary for on Saturday, but if that has an effect on the footing, then that could, you know, all bets could be out the window at that point. If there's poor footing for guys out there, you never know what can happen. But it's got to be a close game. I don't think there's any doubt about it. The Eskimos certainly do. They played well enough at least once this year to beat the Stampeders, but didn't. And as one Eskimo player said to me yesterday, and I was talking, said, you know, everyone's talking about how they beat us three times. We don't have to tie that series. We just have to win one game. And that's kind of their attitude going into it.
Thanks, Morley. Appreciate it. Looking forward to it. And hopefully less snow than Buffalo. That's where we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Wow. That's amazing, eh? That's amazing.
It is. Yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah, hopefully less snow than that, and the sunshine comes out and we get some warm weather, and let the athletes do what they do best.
Take care, fella. Good to talk to you again. Thanks.
Okay, Boomer. Thanks.
Edmonton Eskimos calling for a close game. Riley's in. The defense is ready. And make no mistake, there's nothing more that John Cornish wants to do than to stick it to Chris Jones. And there's nothing Chris Jones wants to do than put a roadblock play after play after play and stack that box to keep Cornish from running wild.